This episode of the Morning Stream PM is brought to you by Original Grain, the premier maker of wood and steel watches. For a limited time, visit originalgrain.com and receive 25% off your order when you use the special code TMS. Some exclusions apply. See the site for details. That's originalgrain.com and use that code TMS to save 25% off. Coming up on TMS PM, the adventures of Matt Rubber.
Dude.
They're all spelled different for those listening at home. Check your notes. Emilio Estevez, level of snow.
Use grippy stuff to hold your pole.
That rhymed. Dan, the tabletop man, and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS PM, the PM edition of the morning stream for May 24th, 2019. Brian Nibbitt's right over there. I'm Scott Johnson right over here. Good morning.
Hello. Not morning. Afternoon. It's PM, Scott. PM. Says it right there in the title.
It's morning somewhere. Where is it morning? Just not on this continent.
I guess I can't argue with that. Mm. It is morning somewhere.
Not on this continent. The best continent. Fight me! Right. Just kidding. I don't know if we're the best. Actually, I think we're kind of the crappy continent right now. The weather's weird. Had all kinds of rain and hail again today, so.
Yeah, you never ended up with snow, though, did you?
Like, we got
you
a little
didn't get
snow.
The snow
just,
we had.
Just oh, a little okay. bit. Not like you did. Like
okay, good.
A smattering,
a dusting.
Yes, a dusting. Okay. Just a little, and then it melted. Right. Or the water washed it away. I don't know which, because then the rain came and washed it all away.
You got a, let's see. You probably got a. I'm trying to figure, come up with the reason. You didn't get a John Belushi amount of snow.
No.
You maybe got a Emilio Estevez level of snow. When he goes over to Charlie Sheen's house, to his brother's house for a party.
I think he, didn't he always, I thought he always abstained. Didn't he always stay out of trouble?
He probably did, yeah. But just, I think you get a contact, I think it's like being around Pigpen with Charlie Sheen. Like, right. You just inhale around Charlie Sheen. There's a cloud of cocaine around Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, you don't even know you're grooving on it, but it's in the air. At Charlie's
That's
house.
That's right. Exactly. Yes.
Got to go to Thanksgiving to Charlie's house, get a head full of cocaine. All right. Well, Alexiv in the chat says they just made his daughter pancakes for breakfast. So that's breakfast somewhere, morning somewhere. Yeah. Thanks for bailing me out. I appreciate it. Hey, let's get into it. We got stuff to talk about. Now, there was no show Thursday where there should have been one.
Right.
And I'll just tell people what happened. I didn't know this at the time, but after about 3 hours of troubleshooting, I figured it out. I didn't check this first? Because we've had these problems before, Brian.
Well,
it's
what's
not
funny
the
is
first
like
time.
When I've had that problem, I could look back in our texts. When I've had the problem of, oh, my computer's taking forever to boot or it's not downloading the update, this is the first thing you ask me if I've tried.
Yeah. And I say, hey, how's your USB hub doing? And,
yeah, exactly.
And in this case,
unplug all USB device?
it didn't occur to me the whole time that I was fighting this. I'm like, okay, well, I've tried that. That didn't do it. What's going on? Why is this rebooting happening? It kept happening and happening. And and then it hit me. Oh my gosh, freaking USB. And it's some third party Griffin poopy, who knows what, how long I've had this thing. Mm-hmm. USB-C or not USB-C, USB 3. Three? Okay. Three, right? The blue ones?
Blue one, that's...
Yeah, USB 3 is blue.
Yes, blue is 3, yes.
Yeah, and it's gone to poop. So I swapped that out. For a different one, and boom, everything's fine. 100% fine. No problem.
It's amazing that those things break down the way they do. I've probably gone through 6 since I've lived in this house.
Right.
Something about USB hubs. I don't know what it is because they're just hardware. They're just basically a plug thing that splits into a bunch of other plug things. There's no software that runs inside them. There's no moving parts.
No,
it's
just
like saying, "Oh, I've got this cord, and then you know, after 3 months, it's just gonna break. It's just gonna break down."
It's supposed to carry a signal, enough signal to move data around, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's the job they have. That's the only job they have. And this thing crapped out and doesn't. It's plain old doesn't work now. I used it with a notebook too, just to see. It just won't work. It's just not working. So we're all good now.
I've got a great one that I like by Mac Alley.
Pull
it up here.
See what you got.
It is, I'll send you a linky link.
It's probably only a matter of time before this one takes a huge dump.
Yeah. Why is that link not working? I'll just copy from the top thing here.
Oh, and for the record, I tried, for all those people out there going, get a PC. I hooked it up to the PC. The same exact thing happened. Same exact thing. The PC wouldn't boot.
So. People.
Same deal. It's the router. Oh, look at that. That looks cool.
Yeah. So I just picked one of these up and I only hook it up, you know, when I need it. And I've needed it quite a few times for the new laptop, because the new laptop only has USB-C.
Oh, right.
And this one's got, this one actually lets you do a pass-through USB port or USB-C. It's also got a charger so I can charge my Switch from there.
Why do they label the far left one as a 3, but that should be C? Isn't that, do you see what I'm saying? That down there at
maybe
the
that's
end?
What I'm... Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's a USB 3 USB-C. It's a USB-C 3.
Oh.
Although I've never seen a USB-C 2 or a USB-C 1. Like,
yeah,
if you've
got a
USB-C.
I thought USB-C was a whole standard unto itself with a new connector. Didn't matter which way you plugged it in, better data, blah, blah, blah.
No, I mean, because you can have a regular USB type A port that's USB 3.
Yeah, but it only charges and carries only some data, right? I don't think it has the full. I don't think you get the full.
USB Type A 3?
Yeah, because if you put a Type A in a computer, just a regular computer.
Different things.
Well, no, I know what you're talking about. Like the long flat end, the flatter USB end. If you take that and you plug that into a PC, and then on the other end is this USB-C, the new one. I think all you're doing is whatever the capabilities of the A can provide, you can still provide those.
Yes.
Or lower, right. But the C out to a, or yeah, if you go C to C, you get the full data capability, not
correct.
Just power and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's correct. Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're wondering like how you can have this thing go from a USB A type and still deliver USB
data
3.0, the USB 3C data.
Yeah. Which it gets a little
confusing. We need Tom for this, I think. This is a good Tom question.
Let's get Tom Meriden here on this thing. And also, the other day when I was flipping out about this, somebody said, hey, USB 1.0 came out in the 90s, because I was complaining it was a 2000s thing. And they were right, 96.
Wow, really? It's been around that long?
I don't remember that. I thought I could have sworn I didn't have any USB ports on a computer until like 2002 or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, it was all like serial. It was
parallel ports.
FireWire.
Yeah, FireWire for a while there. Yep.
Yeah. FireWire didn't come after.
You know what? The Mac. If we're talking just Mac stuff, that's true. The Mac, the Steve Jobs comeback iMacs, the purple iMac things.
Yeah,
they had
USB.
That was
the first one to have USB.
Yeah. So that was definitely 90s. But it just, I couldn't remember it because. And back then, I was PC all the time, and I don't think any of my PCs had it. They seem like they're really slow to pick that up.
Wow.
But USB-C is amazing and should be on everything.
Remember SCSI? Ah, SCSI.
Ah, SCSI.
With the unfortunate name SCSI.
SCSI.
S-C-S-I.
What did it stand for?
That's how my... serial connection, serial interface, or serial connection standard interface?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Something like that. And it was that's how you connected your zip drives and your... your printers and all your hoo-ha stuff.
Well, the Zips had a parallel version because that's the one I had.
Oh, right.
But then I think they did have a SCSI interface one. And then they had the Jazz drives, which had both SCSI and something else. Now those are all, nobody does those anymore.
I wonder if I still have a Zip drive here somewhere. I know I've probably got Zip disks, but I wonder if I've got a Zip drive.
You got to hang on to those. It'll be worth nothing one day. You got to keep those
collector's
things.
Item, sure, yeah.
So is this Mac Alley or McAlley? I can't tell how they want me to say this on here.
Yeah, I think it's McAlley.
McAlley.
It's very McAlley. How do you attach this? McAlley.
Yes, McAlley.
You attach it, McAlley.
Oh, there's a bunch of these. Wow. Down below where they say other products like this.
People, other, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I probably do need to get a new one because this other one is like a one I hadn't been using and it seems to be holding, but it was annoying as hell. So sorry about Thursday. Didn't start working until, I don't know, noon or something. And by then I had to do Frogpants Plays, which was on a whole other computer anyway, so it didn't matter. And we were off to the races, but we're good now. Also... Yay. I got one of these.
Hold on. Oh, let me pull up. Let me look at your big screen. Oh, look at this.
So to test this for, I have two reasons for this. One, I just want one. And two, yeah. Tom Merritt was like, we need to do a review of this on the show. Who wants to do a review? I said, I'd love to do a review. So I'll get it.
Yeah. Twist your arm.
Yeah. So I got this. I shouldn't make it sound like Tom paid for it. It wasn't like that. I had to pay money for this, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Let's say it's the Oculus Quest because people listening to the show don't know what this is.
Oh yeah, I should say Oculus Quest. This is an Oculus Quest VR headset, everybody. Now, right. What makes this device unique in its new class, there's two devices that were just released from Oculus. This and the Oculus Rift S. And the Rift S is just like this, except it's tethered to your PC. It's the regular tethered to your PC way. But both of them feature inside-out tracking, which means no more light, no more stations. This thing will have you when you initially use it. It'll say, hey, is your space changed? Oh, it has. Okay, let's just verify that your floor is where we think it is. And then it's like these cameras turn on. You actually see your floor. And wow. It says, is that where the floor is? And you say, yep. And then it says, all right, well, just give us an idea of how big your space is. So you take one of the controllers, comes with two.
Here they are.
And they look more like standard Rift controllers than the Go controller.
Yeah, these are Rift controllers, the actual. Yeah. And these are fully tracked in 3D space. And whereas the Go controller is... Basically, it's position. It's not positional. It's just it kind of knows that you have it out or not.
Right.
So this is like actual 3D space positional. And you have two of them. Anyway, it says, all right, draw it. So you take this trigger and go around whatever space you want. It's very easy. Just make a circle. And on your screen, you see this big Tron circle or square, whatever the space is. And then when you finish it, it says, is this it? You say, yep, boop, and you're done. And you can walk so in that cool. space. You can. You don't need a. See, you never did the Rift thing or the other one? Vive. And those were a pain in the ass because you had these base stations that had to cinch your position.
Position them.
Yeah, it was a huge nightmare. I hardly used my Vive because of that. It was just like kind of a waste. So my kids use it now, and they're. You know, I'm happy to let them dork with it, but I don't have time for that anymore. So this came along, and I went. Ooh, standalone, but high fidelity and true motion tracking with all the axes and everything with optics and stuff that are on par with the Rift. And it's dirt cheap compared to the other options, like $399 for either the S or this one. And with this one, everything's included. Now, the other reason I went with the Quest instead of the Rift S is because I believe the future is untethered. Mm-hmm. The future is you do not have to have a big giant piece of other hardware plus a bunch of cables hanging in front of to make this stuff work. We are moving into a future where they will be more and more compact and always more and more portable. That will be the standard, not the exception. So that's why I did this one.
Totally.
But I was still like, well, is this just a tiny cut above the Go? Is it going to be... lots better than that, sort of better than that. Like, I didn't know what to expect, and I'm happy to report it's way better than that. Like, a million miles better than that. I'm playing Beat Saber at full resolution. I'm playing...
See, that's another one that I want is Beat Saber. Dang it.
That one's real good. And they got a... you know that fishing one that I liked so much? Bait? Yeah. Remember that?
Bait.
They have a whole version of that that's made just for the Quest. It looks better. It's faster. It has higher resolution. You use the grippy stuff to hold your pole, and you can grab bait and other things with the other hand and move it around in space and do all this stuff. It's like a whole different game. And then, what was I going to say? Oh, they got a bunch of exclusives in there, a whole bunch of games you already know, like Super Hot VR. Super Hot? Yeah, Super Hot. You know that game, Super Hot? Have you heard of Super Hot?
I have not heard of Super Hot.
Oh, my gosh. Super Hot's really cool. Yeah, you should look at Super Hot. Superhot's really neat. The version of Superhot I played was just on a computer without any VR. Apparently, the VR version is the way to go, so I'm going to be messing with that
later. Oh, wow. Oh, you know what? I have seen this, and I thought this was available for the Go. I guess not. No, it's only Quest and Higher.
Yeah, because it needs room scale. You have to be able to move around in that space.
You have to walk around. Wow, that's
so, cool. And it's really cool. And then, the Google, what's the drawing one? Shit.
Oh, yeah. 3D, like painting in 3D,
the
basically.
Art one, yeah, where you can create stuff in 3D. That's on here in full. Like, it's the full version of that. And it looks better than my Vive version did somehow. So I'm beyond impressed. What I hope happens is just tons of cool stuff comes out of it. Oh, you can also stream it out to your phone if you want to, so other people can see what you're seeing.
Oh, that's cool.
In theory, if you have a device that supports Chromecast or I guess now they call it Google Cast, but if it supports Google Cast or AirPlay, it will mirror it there too, so you can stream
to
and do stuff.
TV or to
on a TV. Cool. And then there's all the video apps you expect and all that stuff. That all looks better. The Netflix app looks so much better than the Go did. I think the Go was cool for what it needed to be and what it did, and certainly for the price, but it was a limited experience, right? Like a little bit of a training wheels kind of thing. This thing is full-blown VR with none of the restrictions and all of the tracking. And I can be in the dark or the light. It doesn't matter. All that area tracking and positional stuff with the controllers, it's 100% on all the time. It doesn't glitch out the way my Vive did. I don't have to worry about what light's on or whatever, like the PSVR. Like, it's really good that way. So I'm super impressed by it. Like, I'm genuinely impressed. We'll see. Cool. You know, here's the trade-off, Brian. For you, it's not going to matter because you're already not this guy. But there are people out there that are like, well, I invested in a Vive or I invested in an original Rift, and I have a bunch of games on Steam that I bought that can be played without VR, but they also have VR-capable modes. And I can't play those now because this thing needs to be installed on the device, not on a computer. And for those people, I'd say, well, consider the Rift S so you can still use the stuff you have. But just know that, you know, wireless is the future. That's the way things are going to go. But that's the trade-off. If you have a bunch of old stuff already, you know, you're not going to get as much value out of those. You're going to have to rebuy a couple of games or something like that. Those people, I would at least say that to. To you, though, I think you're a perfect candidate for this. Because
I think so, too. I actually still use the Oculus Go several times a week, a couple times a week at least, with the recumbent bike when I'm doing that, or just taking a break and playing one of the shoot 'em up games, zombie games, or whatever I've got on here.
Yeah.
So.
And this will change your life, because if you're already into that, this does all of that better, all of it.
Now, here's the decision, or here's the thing that absolutely makes it a no-brainer for me, is the Marvel VR game, the Marvel Powers United.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Which is currently, it's an Oculus game, but it's currently only Rift. If they port that to the Quest, I'm in. I'm in like Flynn.
Should be no reason they can't. I mean, the fidelity-wise, this thing can handle, like the Star Wars game that's on here. Yeah. That's
Shut up, there's a Star. Oh, it's that Darth Vader one.
Yeah,
right?
It looks great.
The launch title.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, like, it looks and plays great, and it's only $10. Like, I think it's nice. I'm impressed. I'm not ready to give a full review yet because I want to really put it through its paces. But for the couple of days I've had it and for much time I've spent in it, it's the most immersive thing I've had. And here's the thing. It auto senses when I pick it up. So it turns off after 15 seconds of not having me in there. And then when I put it on, it automatically all fires up again. It uses a USB-C charger. So it comes with a cable and a charger. Great big long cable for it. I don't know why it's so long. Maybe they're like, well, you can play with it on if you want. But I haven't had really any battery issues yet. And when I'm done, I put it away. And while I had it on, I had this full room scale inside-out tracking experience, which is so far beyond what the Go did and so much easier to achieve than my Vive did. Like, I don't know why this isn't. This should be a huge hit. I hope it is, because Oculus is losing money on every unit they sell.
It's a hardware platform that is so dependent on quality titles for the software. You know, it's
right.
Sure, you can use it for your Netflix and stuff like that. You're just not going to get a group experience for that. So it needs to rely on providing compelling single person experiences.
Yeah, and there are already a ton on there, and there's a ton on their way, and they've got this whole exclusive stuff going on. So I'm not worried about that so much, but they're losing money every unit to flood. They want more of these in the market, and they have the money to do it because they got Facebook money, so they can lose money and they'll be okay. But your alternative is that new Steam one, or sorry, Valve's making one called the Valve Index. And that thing's $1,000. And not that different than your Rift S if you're going tethered.
Wow.
So, yeah. Like, it's a very competitive move by these guys. I'm super curious to see how it all turns out. But anyway, very happy with it, very pleased with it. It's also more comfortable than I found the Go to be. It's a tiny bit heavier, but it's got a good, the way the strap and the distribution works, it doesn't feel heavier to me while it's on my head or whatever. And I have a big head and it works there. I have stupid eyes and it works there. So,
what are the straps that are on that thing? Are they cloth or they look plastic? Are
they're
they plastic?
They're rubber. They're matte rubber.
Okay, good.
The Adventures of Matt Rubber.
I was going to say, a cop living on the edge, yeah. Matt Rubber.
That's right. Cashing checks his body can't cash or whatever it is. Right. So these, yes. Okay. And then on the sides, you have these, this is all adjustable in and out, so this can go further in, further out. The top has one as well, so when you put it on, you just kind of adjust it real quick. And there's just, like, no setup. It's that, that's the funny thing. The Vive used to take me 20 minutes to do anything to start the thing. This thing, put it on, it says, are you in your same space? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Are you not in your same space? Oh, okay, really quickly, just go, make a circle around me and I'm done. Or if it's, or you can just say, I'm in a chair, I'm not going anywhere, because there's plenty of experiences that are just fine that way.
And you don't need to worry about setting your space or anything.
No, so it doesn't care. Anyway.
All right, cool. It's neat. That's one of the things I don't like about the Go is the cloth straps. Because I'm not a perspiry kind of guy.
Right.
However, somebody that was interested in trying this thing out is a big sweaty monster beast. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And so I let him try it out. And then basically as soon as they left, I went and like washed and I removed the straps, washed them, and hung them up to dry.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah, this is all wiped down rubber. But it feels well, you know, it's well constructed, nice solid piece of craftsmanship. I was going to say one other thing about it, and it was what it was. I don't remember what I was going to say. Did you ever try Big Screen by chance?
Yes, I watched a couple of keynotes with that, and that's kind of cool. I actually watched a Rift keynote where they introduced the Quest on that.
Yeah.
And then I went back in there while I was on the recumbent bike just to see, oh, there's like somebody's just showing a movie. I'll go in there. And there's it plops you in right next to people. Yep. If you don't want to be next to people, tough. You're going to be right next to people, and you hear their conversation while the movie's going on. Like, yeah.
You can mute them if you want. You can turn those guys off, which is nice.
Yeah, I know.
But yes, it's annoying, especially if you're not unaware of that. But I did this today, and I noticed that anybody who has hands with articulated fingers, they're using either a Rift S, or a Rift Quest, because they have the full grippy, fingery, pointy hand controllers. Yeah,
otherwise, they're Go people.
And if they're Go people, you see the little Go thing floating there. And so you can always kind of tell who you're with, even if you're cross-platform like that. It was
so
neat.
Here's a decision we need to make.
Okay.
Do we get, do we talk Randy and Brian Dunaway into getting one of these, and then I get one of these, and then we do Film Sack in a big screen room, and anyone who wants to join us for a live Film Sack watching of something on Netflix, because we can watch something on Netflix, right?
I think so, but I think it only handles up to 16 people currently.
All right, well, Patreon. Time for a Patreon for FilmSec and a Patreon level for FilmSec that allows you to join us for our movies.
It would be really cool, no question.
That would be awesome.
I would do that in a heartbeat, but it's cool. That thing's still in beta, that particular software, so I don't know, you know, what they're going to do to tweak it. But somebody was watching Age of Ultron, so I sat there and watched a good quarter of the movie. And it was,
Was there a virtual person next to you with their shoes off?
No, but there was a virtual person next to me, and I'm not kidding. Here's the controller, and when you hold the controller in your hand, yes. Yeah. And if you grip all the buttons at the same time, you make a fist.
Yeah.
And this guy's... You know what I mean.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Leland Dallas.
I didn't like it because he's right there.
Show me your multi-pass. Show me your multi-pass, Leland Dallas.
He was right next to me. It freaked me out. I was like, dude, I'm not... This is no good. I had to leave. Anyway, it's neat. I like it. And I'm going to keep messing with it. It seems very cool so far. Also, the controllers use a single double A each.
Yeah, that's good. Those are things you don't want to charge because they last so much less time on a charge.
They totally do. But what's great about them is they're still at 100%, even though, you know, I'm the Vive itself, I went to 100 down to like 40 or something in my total use, and the controllers are still there at 100, which is nice to see those numbers stay there, you know. Anyway, it's really cool. I like it. And the price is right, in my opinion. I've been, you know, bouncing this around for a while, and I finally decided to pull the trigger. Literally, the trigger. I can pull the trigger in VR.
Yeah, you pulled the trigger. Yeah. All right. I'm guessing if I don't have one before my birthday, I'll have one after my birthday.
Perfect.
For sure.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, nothing wrong with birthdays. Hey, tell me about this new cat you got.
So let's say what we did get. We didn't get a Quest, but what we did get. So Tristan and his girlfriend arrived back here last night from Arizona. He was down there basically to go pick her up for he was down there for about a week to culminate in picking her up and bringing her back home, bringing her back up here because they're going to live together. They're going to find a place and all that stuff in the far-flung future.
Feels like it'll be over in no time, Brian, I'm sure.
Exactly. Just like our empty nesting was over in no time. But they brought a kitty, little tiny kitten named Remus. And I put a photo on Twitter, a couple of photos on Twitter today with pictures of the kitten. And he is adorable. He is like super cute and also very not shy, like very friendly and doesn't seem to be weirded out by giant humans who all want to pick him up and hold him and squeeze him. And
it's my favorite kind of cat.
Yes, totally. We're very much taking it slow on introducing him to Inara because you've got to do that with a cat that's been in the house established for a while. You've got to you've basically got to acclimate both of them to the other one's scent.
Did you say all my cats are heathens, take it slow? Did you say that to him?
Yeah, we should. Okay. All my cats are heathens, take it slow. But you've got to feed them on opposite sides of a door so they can hear each other eating and smell each other, but not necessarily see each other and be frightened from that. So, it's going to be a long, slow process. We have already introduced him to the dog, and apparently that went poorly.
Oh, it went poorly. Oh, no.
It went poorly. Daisy just, you know, I just want to be loved. Just goes up and like, hi, what are you? And Remus apparently arched his back, fluffed up, hissed, and then ran the other direction.
Yeah, you had me at Remus, though. What a great name for a cat.
Yeah, obviously they're Harry Potter fans.
Yeah, Remus the Wonderful or whatever his name was. No, what was his name? Remus. He was the dark arts teacher that was cool.
Remus.
He married the girl later.
Remus Lupin.
Remus Lupin, played by dude from the third season of Fargo, who's really
gross. Yes. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. So freaky that.
I think it was name.
Man, trying to remember his name in.
I don't remember either. But one of the greatest characters ever. Oh my gosh, what's his name? IMDb.
Oh shoot. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to look for it or if I'm just going to wait for somebody to put it into.
Someone's going to say it before I get it, I'll bet. Fargo season 3. Was he in Wonder Woman? I didn't. Oh, the movie, yeah, with the mustache.
That's the actor, right. Yeah, exactly.
Fargo season 3. Pottermore,
you have to go through a lot of Remus crap before you finally get to the actor's name.
No doubt. Okay, here he is. His name is
David Thewlis.
Jeez Louises. And his character is Varga in Fargo.
VM Varga.
Oh, he's so good. He is so good in Fargo. Everyone they've had as a villain in Fargo has been so amazing. Yeah. What a show that is.
Yeah, now that what's his face is he's getting ready. They're releasing the last season of Brian Fuller.
No, the other guy. The one that did your Marvel thing.
We'll come back to him. Anyway, as soon as he's done with this season of Legion that's just about to come out on FX, then I'm sure he's going to get back to more Fargo.
Noah Hawley.
Noah Hawley, Right.
He is currently working on the Doctor Doom movie.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That's exciting, right? That's cool.
It is. So we're gonna, it's interesting because is there any way we get an, a Doctor Doom movie where we don't somehow get the Fantastic Four?
I don't know. Maybe that's a way to roll it in. Could be.
Yeah.
It's all owned by Disney now, so they control it. They can tell them how to do that stuff now, so we'll see. I don't know. Now I'm all excited for Doctor Doom. That's
so awesome. I was on Cord Killers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we were talking about during spoiler in time, we were talking about Avengers Endgame, but more specifically we were talking about the new Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, in which you see Mysterio talking about Mysterio and Nick Fury talking about a new thing.
Yeah.
A new situation going on.
Right.
And I said, well, it's possible that that it's just BS from Mysterio, because Mysterio's power is BS. He has the power of BS.
Yeah, that's his whole job, is to exactly. make everyone think something's happening that isn't.
But if there's this, can I say, I know it's been more than 2 weeks since Endgame came out, and I feel like I can say there's the potential for a multiverse. Can sure. I say that? I'm
yeah.
saying it. I'm
yeah,
just
going
to go ahead and pull the Band-Aid off.
If you've seen there's the trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home, it's all but confirmed that there's some sort of multiverse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Brian Brushwood says, oh, yeah, well, and this, you know, further proves my direction that I think the way that Marvel could bring in the Fantastic Four is to have them in this multiverse and have them come in like a 50s-style science fiction kind of thing. And yeah. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, what did you do? Hear us talk about that on TMS, Brushwood? Because we've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, we predicted it long before they did over there. They're diamond clubbery. F those guys.
But he might have also. What was that?
It was you.
A clip.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite things you ever
did.
It's
like that time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like the time that I went grocery shopping with Amelia Earhart.
Okay, hold on a second. We got to take a minute and talk about our new friends at Original Grain, the premier maker of wood and steel watches. This episode is brought to you by them. With an unwavering commitment to authenticity, innovation, and next-level craftsmanship, Original Grain is a world-class creator of one-of-a-kind timepieces. I'm wearing one right now. Can you hear it? Hold on. Hear it? Can you hear it? Oh, it's beautiful. I wish you could see how beautiful it was, everyone listening at home, because it's really pretty. Brian and I both got one, and we really like these. Original Grain has some of the most unique watches you've ever seen, and it's certainly the most unique gift you can give this Father's Day. Each Original Grain watch tells a story, like the Whiskey Collection, the only watch handcrafted with genuine reclaimed bourbon barrels built right into the watch. I think that's what I got. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one I got. Or the New York Yankees watch, which are made with reclaimed wood from 1923 Yankee Stadium wooden seats. It's not only a timepiece, it's a piece of time. I really like this watch. I mean, I haven't worn a fancy-looking watch in a very long time, and suddenly I look way cooler than I probably have any right to look. You could, too. An Original Grain watch is the perfect gift for dad or anyone in your life who appreciates good quality, good craftsmanship, and style. And Original Grain watches start at just $169 with free shipping worldwide and easy returns. Plus, Original Grain plants a tree for every watch sold. They planted over 500,000 trees so far. Yours could be the next one. Literally planting a tree for the next bunch of wood they're going to need down the road. Anyway, we've got a special deal for our listeners. For a limited time, you can save 25% off your order at originalgrain.com, but only when you use your code TMS at checkout. You've got to do that part. originalgrain.com and the checkout code TMS. Some exclusions apply. See the website for details. Original Grain watches are absolutely gorgeous. They really are beautiful. And they have an incredibly unique selection of stylish watches for both men and women. Visit originalgrain.com to see for yourself. And again, be sure to use that code TMS at checkout and save 25% from your order. And we thank Original Grain for sponsoring today's show. Very
anyway,
exciting
new
stuff.
Kitty, new Quest.
New Quest, new Kitty.
USB
new
router.
US, maybe new Fargo. We don't know. New Doctor Doom, though, for sure. We know we're getting that.
New Doctor Doom.
Although I would absolutely, I would take a new Fargo in 3 heartbeats. I'm ready.
We've had Nip Tuck guy play Doctor Doom.
Oh yeah, Nip Tuck.
I can't remember who played. Who played him in the recent Fantastic Four? The
the blogger. Is that the one you're thinking of?
No, the angry blogger. The angry blogger, right.
Dan, have you ever seen the angry blogger Fantastic Four? Have you watched
it? Yeah, it was horrible as everybody thought it would be. You know, I try to give those things a chance, but it's like they make Dr. Doom so powerful in a movie that all of a sudden it's like, 10 minutes where he's dead.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah. Why do they keep mishandling that? I don't
Toby know if they'll Kibble. Ever yeah. do a good Fantastic Four. I mean, I think you guys even said it. I've heard a lot about this too, that the only way that they're going to make a good Fantastic Four is if they set it in like the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Brian's idea of how that should go, 100% behind it. Like, it would be amazing if they could put it in that era, or at least the sort of a World of Tomorrow alternate sort of thing.
Yes. Like, yeah. I want Epcot Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Like, you basically, I want them to go to Epcot and do all the storyboards and all of the production artwork to come up with how this thing is going to look, and then I want them to come back and make it.
100%. I think that's the way they should do it. If they don't, but have the right people involved, then maybe you can convince me. But up until now, it's been a little rough.
I just don't know if they'll ever get a... Can you ever make the thing good where people are just going to buy in?
What do you mean? Like,
that look. Thing. It's got to be a hard look. Because they had like both extremes. They had, you know, the chickless one and then the one in that last one. So it's
a hard one. It's hard. It's what's it like? It's like the X-Men when they decided to just go black leather for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you're never going to get a Wolverine movie with that yellow and brown and those stupid wings on his head and all that stuff. Like, Wolverine's never going to look like that in film because... It only works in comics. It looks terrible in live action. So, the Avengers do the same sort of thing. You get away with Iron Man because Iron Man is intrinsically cool no matter what you're doing. But there are other characters like you're never going to have Captain America with two spindly little eagle wings sticking off the side of his head.
Right.
Well, you kind of do in the first Avenger, but only as like when he's acting or like when he's. When they're promoting him.
The USO. What he's doing.
The USO thing. Right. But even then, they weren't like sticking out, were they? I thought they were kind of like
I think they were sticking out,
But he's never going to fight in those, right? Like, never is that going to happen.
No. Exactly. Because Red Skull just says, I've got your wings. Grab him by the wings.
And he's never going to have the like swashbuckly freaking pirate boots. Those are never going to happen.
No. So for the thing, you just have to do like a big rocky kind of golem looking thing that is maybe not necessarily bright orange, but you just have him be maybe orange, like, you know, rocky colored with a slightly orange hue to it.
Yeah.
But make him look like he's just covered with rocks. And maybe you could
give Colossus a different color from Deadpool, because he looked pretty good in the Deadpool. Actually, Deadpool looks great. Good.
Or just think it. Yeah. I mean, or freaking the Hulk is fine. The way they make the Hulk is great. Make the thing like the Hulk. He's just a big
but
dude.
You've got to do. I mean, with the Hulk, it's easy because it's like skin, you know.
Right.
But with the thing, you've got to have rock that looks like it can move, and you've got to have the seams and the cracks in the right places. But that's the thing. I think you make it so that it looks like organic rock that is breaking and reforming as he's moving. So like, you know, he bends his arm and all those rocks in his inner elbow crack and dust comes out. But then as he moves his arm back, they kind of reform. And
chat room's right. Make Korg. Korg's your guy.
It's totally.
You've already got your model. You're ready to go. Just turn him orange and you're good.
Hey man. Man. I'm Thing now.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey man. Hey. Piss off, ghost.
Piss off. Oh, Taika Waititi. Hey, I did his name right.
There's a recent episode of What We Do in the Shadows with Taika, and it's fantastic.
Oh, sweet. I'm glad to hear that. I know he's, you know, show running from afar in producer role, but I would love to know that he pops in. Is he the character from the movie?
He is. Yeah. He and Jemaine Clement and the other guy reprise their roles as...
That's amazing. Not the ancient one from the basement, though. He's gone.
Nope, he's gone.
Eric or whatever his name is.
As long as he doesn't show up saying, hey, man, I have this Oculus controller right here I want to show you.
Band meeting? All right,
Killer 69 is still on again. I
should probably give Dan a proper one of these.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
Okay, there's your thing. Hey, Dan, I got a question for you before we do any board game talk. Can you help me with a thing? I got a quandary.
Okay, has it been going on for 4 hours?
No, I'm still good there. I have a question about, and I texted you about this, so it seems like a good place to bring it up. And it's come up on the show a couple of times, but CBD oil.
Oh, yeah.
You had told me somebody you know uses it for nerve damage or something.
Right.
Or nerve pain.
Right. So, I mean, I've got a bunch of relatives that are actually using it for that sort of use.
Right, right. And now, can you, the legality in North Carolina is what? Medical is cool and CBD's fine, but just no THC, or what's the deal?
Right. Well, I don't think, almost none of the real good CBD oil even has any THC in it. So, I mean, that's right. Not really a whole lot to worry about. You just have to watch where you're getting it from.
Right.
But the legality in some states is really up in the air, and you really have to look at what you're buying. I think there was some story, my wife was telling me about it. I hadn't looked it up myself, but I heard some woman got arrested in like Disney World because she had CBD oil in it. It's apparently illegal in Florida.
Oh, really? Florida, yeah. All places, CBD oil.
Yeah. But it was either, I don't know if it was, I guess it's probably not illegal in California, but yeah, I mean, I know that she was telling me that story. So you really got to worry. And she did say that you got to watch those prices too, because yeah, you didn't get a good price on that.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's, yeah. Or a lot of places are ridiculously expensive. And it's easy to assume, oh, well, the price must mean it's good, you know?
Right.
But that's not always the
case.
But
yeah, I mean, if you do your homework and you're getting a reputable place and just kind of look at it from a couple of different reviews, you know, like normally, just because you never know who's going to be popping up their own reviews just so that, you know, so that they look better and you're going to buy the overpriced stuff because it says it's good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know. I have to ask my wife. I didn't get a chance to ask her where they normally buy, because there's a few places locally that they get it from, and they're pretty reputable, and they have a good little factory there. But even they have supply issues from time to time, as far as just because it's on back order, because it's the big rage now.
It's
and you just
hot
have to
thing.
Watch what they're using it for. Yeah.
Sure. Because some people could go, hey, this will cure everything I've ever had, and that's it just is. Not the way yeah. it's going to work.
So. Yeah, and you don't know what's in that bottle too. So, I mean, it's kind of like over-the-counter stuff. Since it's not really as regulated by the FDA, they can put, you know, this contains a million milligrams of miracle oil, and you're like, oh my God. And it oh. really just, it's just salt.
Only a million grams?
Wow. Is that all? Jeez. So the little tincture that we got here has, it says that it's got like 0.32% or less THC in it, which
right. Interesting.
My understanding is if it's the better the purity, the more likely it is you've got some small percentage in there. Because
yeah, but you can get that out. You can chemically, you can manufacture that out, and it's not like some other things. So I'll give you a good example. So whenever you get garlic, you know, because a lot of people take garlic for things like cholesterol and stuff.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing about garlic, as we know, is it stinks.
It's damn straight it does, man.
And the main ingredient in the garlic that actually works. So you see people selling odor-free garlic.
Yeah.
Now, if you buy odor-free garlic, it ain't going to work.
Right.
Because the ingredient that makes it work, and I'm pretty sure it's called allicin is what it's called. That's actually what stinks, and that's what does the effects that you need. So you have to watch that, you know, I don't know the you know, I'm no expert as far as the CBD and the chemical makeup weather, but I'm pretty sure that you can make it without the THC. That's how a lot of these states are selling it a lot better. But, you know, where it's legal and stuff, maybe that's okay to put some of that in there. I'd have to do a lot more research into it to know for sure. Like I said, I don't deal with it where I work.
Right. But as far as effectiveness goes, and from your point of view, you know, you're somebody who knows how much snake oil goes on around the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, even with the FDA, there's snake oil going on with regular drugs.
Of course. Snake oil. Exactly. So because that's a thing, and you've witnessed a lot of that, your experience, though, with a good source of CBD is that stuff's helping people, like legit working for people.
Yeah. And I think there's some trials. It just all depends on if there's money there. And I think there will be some more money there, especially when things become more legal in more states and they can get the manufacturing up higher. There will be more trials and more tests that are done just to prove it to the FDA, just so that people, you know, a lot of these big companies want to have all that data behind it. You know, you want evidence-based medicine, not just, not just Dan says it works. You know, that doesn't work good for the FDA. So they, you know, you want to get more things, more people behind it. If they see there's a good bottom line, they'll go for it. But yeah, there's, wide variety. Like you were saying, like things between seizures, nerve pain, sleeping disorders, all sorts of different things that they're using it for. So I mean, hopefully they can find what it works and the mechanism of action for.
Yeah,
as well.
That would be great. Like more studies would be good, because I know some people whose kid had multiple 3-4 seizures a day. And the kid doesn't know what a placebo is. He's like 7, mm-hmm. 6
right.
maybe. They gave him CBD oil on the recommendation of their doctor as something to try. and immediately stops having seizures and has only had one since, but used to have multiples a day.
Right.
Like, that's not just some kid going, oh, I feel it. I feel so strongly it might work that it did because placebo. Yes, right. They don't know.
Right. And my guess is a lot of these different effects are the body's inflammatory response can evidence, you know, it can manifest itself in a million different ways. And when you have people that have seizures, a lot of times it's the firing of the nerves that is what kicks it off in the brain.
Right.
And that could manifest, and especially a lot of these people that have fibromyalgia, a lot of that nerve pain. What that is the excess firing of those neurons. So if you get CBD oil, and if it's combating that body's natural response to the inflammatory response, it can be causing a lot of the calming down of those nerves, which is also what helps to, you know, calm people, you know, in the elderly where they're feeling better and not having the pain. That's because the nerves aren't firing as much. And possibly in people that have the seizures and such, could be some of those nerves and some of the tightening where, you know, maybe some spasming, which is kind of triggering backhand, all, you know, back up the channel up to the brain, causing some of these seizures.
Yeah.
You know, it could be things like that. You know, the body is, man, it's effed up.
It's weird. It's crazy. Man. Isn't it weird? It's a weird piece of shit sometimes. And also, this stuff tastes like lawn mowing clippings.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's why you got to do the gummy bears.
Yeah. I want to try the gummies.
CBD gummy bears.
Yeah. There's got to be a good source for the CBD infused gummies. Somewhere. I know there's plenty of websites, but I just don't know who to trust. I have no idea.
Right. Well, and I know a lot of it, it seems to be that I've read a lot of, very effective as far as topical goes.
Yeah.
As well, you know, as far as more people are having a little bit better effects with topically. So it'd be interesting to see the difference between the two of those.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of things aren't absorbed topically. But
that's what Nicole does on her shoulder or back or whatever she was having pain with. And she claims huge results from that. All right. Well, look, we've solved CBD, so everyone just make all the things legal, so we can just go for it. Because Dan said so.
Yeah, and as I get a little more research into it, I'll try to do that some over the summer, is find some more research into it, and see if I can get you some data and any information more.
All right, because I want to buy a big bucket of gummies. That's what I want.
There you go.
That's right.
Then you can come to Colorado and have magic mushrooms, because even though they're not legal yet. The measure just passed that says the cops will care less about that than like a speeding ticket or something like that. Like, they're putting it lowest on their list of crimes. So basically, if you get busted with magic mushrooms, just pick up a rock and break a window, and you'll get the precedence. The priority will be the broken window charge over the magic mushroom.
But what if you threw the rock at the window because of the hallucinogenic effects of the mushrooms?
Well, you just might do that. And don't make it a store window, because then that's like really
going far.
Yeah. Like, you know, break a nearby, I don't know, one of those do they still have newspaper things on the side of the street?
Yeah, in front of my Denny's, there's one. You get your USA Today out of there.
There you go. Break one of those.
Okay.
And, there's plenty of those in Vegas.
Nobody will care.
Oh, yeah, Vegas all over the place. Porn cards go everywhere.
Yeah, those are free newspapers.
And, right.
Oh, yeah.
They're just all tell sticky.
You're throwing it at Puff. Like
those things are like a lending library.
They're also not very newsworthy. They're more like...
No, yeah. You can't really say read it for the articles. There are no articles.
There are no articles. The article is call this number or visit this website. And that's it.
That's right.
Anyway, Dan...
I heard you guys like this.
Look what he's got. Hold on. I can't show anybody. What does it say? Roll for it.
Roll for it.
Oh, yeah.
Roll for it.
The app. Did you pick up the app yet, Scott?
I did. I bought it the day you recommended it, and I really like it. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfect for these type of weekends where you have a lot of people around, you know, these holiday weekends, because it's very chill, plays 2 to 4 players. There's a red version, and I think there's a purple version is the other version, and they actually have different cards in them if you have the physical one. But the game on the app is awesome because it's a great time killer.
It really is, and it's it scratches that Yahtzee itch without having to play actual Yahtzee, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Brian, did you ever get Suro to the table? I mean, did you ever get into the app?
I have not. I still not played the app. If we weren't doing Dan the Tabletop Man today, then I would have done to Suro, but I figured...
You want me to teach you Suro in 2 minutes or less?
Do it.
Yes.
Okay. So Suro, you have these tiles, and it's a 6x6 board where you have tiles that have basically four tracks on them. And you have a little, you know, you have a little meeple or just a little dude there. And when they're around the outside, you're going to put one of these tracks on there.
and then they have these rows, and you're trying to stay alive the most. So you're going to put these, you're going to have tiles in your hand, you're going to put a tile down on your turn, and you have to put it connecting to one the tile that your guy is on, and then he's going to go to the end of the row. So there's going to be like, there'll be roads going one way, roads going another, crisscrosses and stuff, and everybody starts at a different place on the board. Now you're trying to make it so that your guy is going to stay on the board longer than somebody else. So if you collide with somebody or if you go to the end of the board, you're out. Mm. So you're trying to make this board so that you see where people are going so that when, you know, when your guy can keep going, if it's from something that somebody else put out, they have to keep going along the road.
Can you only put tiles around your dude, or can you put them around your opponent?
No, you can't. You can't go around somebody and just wheel them into the side. So it starts off as yours, but it still is able to kind of really plan where you see other people are going, because other people won't necessarily be on your road. So you can see where the other roads from that they might get to.
That's cool.
So it's very thinky. It's very, very light and thinky. Mm.
And it's cool. This is almost perfect as an app, because you, as soon as you place the tile, the little dudes go and move where they're going to move.
Yep.
As opposed to you having to remember to do that, you know, well, not remembering, because it's really easy on a tabletop game, but I don't know, just seeing the animation of them moving around. Gwen, who runs the Phoenix Pearl Tea Shop, does the TMS tea, says that it is one of the most popular games that they have in the tea shop there. Like, people get their tea, and then they'll sit down and play Suro.
Oh, it's very chill. And what they have at cons is they'll have giant Suro. So it'll be like 10 foot by 10 foot. And there's these big square, like little things you kind of throw on the floor and you just kind of walk where your guy would be going. It was pretty cool.
Oh, like human. So you basically, it's human Suro.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I was thinking that you still played with the little tiny squares. And
No. You have these big old squares and you just kind of like throw them out on the board. It's really, really cool.
Oh, that's cool. All right. That's very cool.
So I got another got one more thing for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because it's quick, it's easy, and it's really dumb. And you can't believe that it's a game, but it's actually fun. And it's another thing that's perfect for a weekend like this. It's called Dude.
Dude!
Have you heard of this?
No, but it looks like the dude a little bit on there.
Yep. It's a game where you say dude. So everybody has 12 cards in your color. Okay. And there's different spellings of dude on this thing. And what you're trying to do is you'll shuffle up your deck and you'll look at a card and you have to say dude the way it's spelled on there. And everybody does this at the same time. So you're trying to make eye contact. If you have somebody that's saying dude the way you're saying dude and you think their card is the same as yours, you have to make eye contact and you have to say sweet. And if they say sweet, then you get a point and you flip over to the next card and you're trying to get with somebody else. It's a real time game. It goes real, real fast. And if you get through all your cards, or if you get it wrong, you actually have to throw it to the middle and you don't get a point for it. If you get to the done, you say chill when you're done with everything.
Okay.
All right. So here, Scott, I want you to say, how would you say that? I hope I'm not backwards on here. I might be backwards.
No, you're right. I would say dude.
All right. Hit it.
Don't ask me because I can't see.
Oh,
anything.
He can't see.
Oh, he can't see. Oh, all right. So, well, there's different things. There's actually a tie-dyed dude.
Yeah.
So that's the one I was showing you, or it just says D-U-D-E and it's tie-dyed.
Okay. What would you say, Brian?
Like, dude.
Exactly. And then there's a miniature where it's like, it's written really small and you'd be like, dude. And then there's one where it's spelled D-E-W-D.
Yeah. Dude.
Dude. Yeah. There's one with three O's.
Okay.
So you can see the confusion there, because you might say it the same way as the D-E-W-D. You might go, dude. And then people may think you have the same.
Yeah. Well, I would have gone, dude, awesome. Or I would say, dude.
So, there's six different ways for dude, and that's the game. It seems so dumb. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
It's basically a game that's based on David Spade's solid 10-minute bit about, you know, all the different ways of saying dude. It's like, all right, well, there's the oh, you really blew it, dude. And then there's the, are you hanging around the other side of this, the other, around the corner with an X? Dude.
Maybe that's where he got it from. Maybe that was.
Well, don't they do that same thing in Dude, Where's My Car? Where it's like, what does mine say? Dude. What does mine say? Sweet.
Yeah. That movie sucks bad.
I think I've got to pick this up. This sounds awesome.
It sounds
and it's real
good.
Cheap. I think it's only like $10.
How's the replayability though? Like once you've played with the same group of people, you know how they're going to say some dudes, or
sort of, because you kind of, you're kind of looking at five different, you know, if you play this with, because I think it goes 3 to 6. So you're playing with so many different people that like your brain's an overload. You may not remember exactly, but I wouldn't want to play it over and over. It's just kind of a take it out, play it. You know, maybe you're at a, you know, a bar another night and you're just like different people. So that's probably how it fits in a little bit better, because you could probably overkill this one.
Yeah, I would play this. I'd totally play this.
This sounds great.
What I like about the box, Brian can't see the box, or maybe you've looked it up since, but it's,
I've got it on BoardGameGeek. I'm looking at it. Yeah,
they basically made the Big Lebowski without having to pay any royalties for it on the cover of that.
Pretty
thing.
Much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool.
I like the coffee. The coffee stain is a nice touch too.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, awesome. I'm more than willing to try that one out. Dan, of course, a hell of a source for this sort of stuff. So if you want to find out more, you should listen to his show. Tell people where they can find your podcast and you in general, Dan.
You can find me at the Geek All-Stars podcast. We just put one out this week. We were talking about all the tariffs that are going in and how that may affect the prices of games coming from China, because most games are produced in China. So we talk about a lot about that, and about the Spiel des Jahres. We'll talk about that another show. The awards just came out for in Germany, the Spiel des Jahres. We talk about both of those. Plenty of games and Q&A. So check out the Geek All-Stars and check me out at Geek Jock Blog.
Nice. Take it easy, dude. We'll see you next
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, boys.
You bet.
See you, dude.
See you, dude. The Spiel des Jahres, is that how they say that?
Yeah. Yeah. The Spiel? Basically the Palme d'Or of board games.
Descharis. I just want to see how this.
Good luck spelling it.
Oh, there it is. Despil. Oh, it makes the last word want to be thesaurus. All right, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Oh, well, it's gonna play an audio file. Hold on.
Spiel.
Oh no.
Spiel.
Spiel.
Hold on. Spiel.
How about this one? Hold on. This isn't working now. Okay. Well, this was dumb. All right, there you go. Recommendations from Dan. Dan, the tabletop man. That's going to do awesome. It for the show, I think, today. See, we went the full hour and
we did 12.
We started a little late, but we're about there. Okay. Right. So there you go. We're going to be done. And that means that we'll be back on Monday. No problems, Detective. We should have a full week of shows, just like we thought we'd have last week. And we'll do it all again next week. So please come back for that. We are at patreon.com/TMS. It is the very reason why we have this episode today. So please, please, please help us out over there. Patreon.com/TMS. And for anything else you might need, patreon.com/TMS. There'll be a film sack this weekend. We're recording it tomorrow for The Fifth Element. A lot of people thought Fifth Element would be like the last thing we ever did. And
really?
Yeah. I think they thought it would be like our big shove off.
Right. Like when we're done with the show, we'll do the Fifth Element kind of thing. Like,
but no, the answer is no. We're doing it now. Mm-hmm. And we're not. And then we have more after this. So don't get too excited.
I didn't give a Weight Watchers check-in.
How'd it go?
I'm up 1.2.
Yeah!
1.2 pounds.
Well, that'll mod pizza you right into where you want to be.
Why are you cheering?
I don't know. So the rest of us feel less like we're not as good as you. I don't know.
Yeah. It was, it's been a rough week. I'm not surprised. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it was basically, we had snow the whole week and I couldn't ride and finally got out on the bike today. It felt so good.
Oh, good.
So
that's fantastic. Well, don't worry. Next week, I'm sure it'll go right back
next
down.
Next week, I'll make up for it. That's usually what happens is if I have a gain week, the next week is I'm so freaked out by my gain week that I overdo it on spending points and I'm way, way, way less of way less spendy on my points.
Was it?
It was Justine. It was actually Justine who weighed me. Jean wasn't there.
Oh, no Jean?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a new lady. So now I have to go through the whole question and answer again of, are you sticking around for the meeting? No, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't stick around for meetings. Are you kidding?
I don't. The meeting does nothing for me. Well, maybe that should be my incentive. If I have a week where I gain, I have to stick around for the meeting. That'll inspire me to lose.
Well, you should try it just once so we can find out what's in those meetings.
I've been to a couple of them.
Oh, you have been. That's right.
Yeah. It's just basically like talking about being mindful of what you eat.
Do you hear about Tony? And, speaking of mindfulness and like self-help and all that, Tony Robbins in trouble because six women say showed his junk to him unrequested. Yeah.
Isn't he he's big, tall doofus, right?
Big, tall guy, white, the whitest teeth you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Been working for years and years and years writing these books. My brother used to be a huge fan of him and tried to follow all his stuff around, and apparently is having a major Me Too moment today. So good luck to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's motivated them in. He's motivated them into filing lawsuits. So he's still motivational. Good for him. Glass half full, yep. Tony Robbins.
It's kind of a nutbag. Anyway, that's it for the show. Thank you all for being here. Let's play a song on our way out, though. Do you have anything?
Yes. Okay. This one is going out to Eddie Murphy.
What?
But not the famous comedian Eddie Murphy. He says, not that I haven't heard that before, but I want to wish a happy 16th anniversary to my wonderful wife, Kate. Hey, I got the year right this time. I hope you can find a good cover of The Wonder of You, as it explains my puzzlement in why she loves me so. The Wonder of You. Now, this is a song that people usually attribute the original to Elvis Presley. And Elvis Presley certainly had one of the most famous versions of it, or if not the most famous version of it, but it was originally by a guy named Ray Peterson. And
sounds like, someone's neighbor or something.
I know. Oh, Ray Peterson did that. Yeah. And then Elvis Presley did it. Ray Peterson did it, but then Elvis did it. And now Gigi Elvis and the TCP band are doing it from their 2008 album, Back from the Dead. Here is the punk rock version of The Wonder of You.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Here it is. We'll be back Monday.
Monday.
Come back then. We'll see you then. When the world I'm in and I'm carrying, when everything I do is one, you give me all my information, you give me things to carry on. In your own way, it's split. I hate everything I do. That's the wonder of you. When you find a world of fire, you took my hand and I am kicked. What the fuck, yeah? Your love for me is everything. I guess I'll never know the reason why. Loving like you do. That's the wonder. The wonder of you. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I have no idea.